In your Bible, Titus chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I will read verse 1, and we can read verse 2 together. Proverbs chapter 1, not Proverbs. Titus is after the book of Proverbs. But Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If you would go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this morning. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your love and your guidance in our lives. We do thank you for the privilege and the honor to where we can come and meet together and we can be able to hear the Word of God together. So, Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us. Holy Spirit, please come and speak to our hearts. Help us to be able to hear the Word of God so that our faith can be increased. Because just like Tim and Veronica with the Mike Payton needed Christ and they wanted Christ, there's people that we're going to come across that need Christ and they want Christ. So please help our faith to be increased so we can reach them with the gospel. Please fill preacher the powers that brings a message to us today. And Lord, we'll give you honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
Amen. All right, I want to preach a message entitled this morning, Hold the Line. Hold the Line. Of course, as we read here in Titus chapter 1, and in just a minute we'll go back to 1 Kings, I want to start with this thought. God keeps His promises. This passage refers to God's promise in the area of salvation, in the hope of eternal life, verse number 2, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God's promises are so faithful that He even wrote them down for us. And our text does not say that God will not lie, but our text says that God cannot lie. And so with that, He will always speak truth. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, it says, God is truth. And so with that, we've been talking about the light in the Lord, our theme this year, and we've talked a lot about light. And of course, having that light, having that truth in which we shine and share to others, we have to make a decision as Christians in a world where Christianity is not popular. And understand, Christianity's never been popular. Many times we think that our country has always been a Christian nation, and I disagree. I can go back and show you a lot of things that our country has in its history that would prove otherwise. And so there's a lot of things in our country's history that I'm not proud of. There are a lot of things that I look and see, well, I wish we would have done things different. I look back at my own life and say, well, I wish there was things I would have done different. But the truth of the matter is, we are in a day and age where Christianity is under attack. There is coming a day where no longer can you say, thus saith the Lord, and someone can be okay with it, to where they want to lock you up like they did Micaiah, where they punched him in the face and threw him in prison. Where once we say, well, this is what God says about the autonomy of the church or the autonomy of the home, the autonomy of the family and marriage, boy, there are those that if you, it's not just that you accept what they do, but if you don't rally and cheer what they do, then you are against them. And therefore, you are hateful and evil and wicked and need to be eliminated or locked up, one of the two. So it's got to come a point in time where you have to decide whether you're going to hold the line or not. I understand that technology of war has come a long way. But when I go back and I study and I learn about the Civil War and the Revolutionary War and how they fought, it was quite barbaric, and I guess every kind of fighting and war is barbaric, but they would line up in lines and march, knowing that the enemy was taking aim. They would continue to march until they shot, knowing that it would take almost just shy of 2 minutes to clear and reload those muskets, that then they would be able to get close enough to retaliate. And they would form a line, they would form a brigade, if you would. Because with those muzzles, the muzzle loaders, they took so long to clean and to pour the gunpowder and to pack the bullet in and to get it ready, and put the firing cap on there. By the time you did all that, if you weren't next to someone else, and to where you could put your firepower close together to throw at the enemy, or to make a wall with a bayonet to keep the horse soldiers away, if you were to try to fight like modern day, where everybody finds a tree or everybody finds a stump or a fence or somewhere to hide, they would be picked off in between those 2 minutes that they had to reload. The cavalry would come around and just annihilate them. So it was as much as it doesn't make sense to fight a war like that with the weapons that they had, it kind of does, that it was for their own protection because their strength in numbers. And there was flags, there was people there, that their whole job, those lieutenants, those captains would march in front of them, and their whole job was to keep those men in line, to keep those men holding the line. Because if that line broke, then the enemy could take that as an advantage and break through the ranks and to then surround the enemy, take out the artillery, take out the general that was watching from the rear. So therefore, it was important that no one broke the line. If someone was hit, boy, they would all collapse and then fill in that gap and hold that line. As time has progressed, and of course technology with machines and tanks and biplanes, you think of World War One became a war of trench warfare, then holding lines for longer periods of time. To even World War II, you think of the Battle of the Bulge and how thin the line was there, trying in the Ardennes Forest, trying to hold off the German attack and trying to break through. But you throughout history and throughout every major war, there has always been a struggle to hold a line or to hold a perimeter, or nowadays to hold a building or a city, to think that there were some willing to give up their lives so that they could defend their line. I hope that there are Christians today willing to defend the truth, willing to stand and hold the line. As we see, what is truth? We've talked about that last week, and I want to continue this morning as we hold the line, because everything about God is true. And as a Christian, what do we shine? We get to shine truth. What is truth? The Word of God. Everything that we know, everything we have, is from this wonderful and precious book that God has given us. Everything about God is true. His sayings are true. His judgments are true. His ways are true. His Word is true. His Spirit is true. And His Son is true. And boy, we should copy God in truth. And everything about us ought to be true. We ought to make sure that our words are true, that our ways and our actions and our ideas are true. But unfortunately, we are not always, because we can lie, we can deceive, because we still have that sin nature. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 and 25 says that we are to put away that lying nature. We are to put away that old creature and put on the new man. And therefore, we need to hold to the truth. As we look back, turn back to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And we're going to look at a couple verses in just a minute. Just find the chapter, 1 Kings chapter 22. You know, they say it's lonely at the top. Well, that might be true, but you know, it's also lonely with the truth. As I said last week, you will be hated for speaking the truth. Even as I use the silly illustration of a husband and a wife, when a wife looks at her husband and says, "How do I look?" Careful, guys, you say the truth, you're going to be in trouble. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't like it when someone looks at us and gives us the truth. We don't want to hear that. We don't like looking in the mirror and getting the truth. We don't like going to the doctor and getting the truth. We want everything candy-coated. We want everything to be exactly the way that we want it. But it's also lonely at the top with the truth. But men of God have always stood alone. And of course, as we look at this story of King Ahab, as he did not like God's men, he did not like Micaiah because he always spoke evil of him. Well, because King Ahab was an evil man. There wasn't anything good to say. But Noah had to stand alone when he preached. Elijah had to stand alone on Mount Carmel when he stood against the 450 prophets of Baal. Amos stood alone in the courtroom at Bethel. The yes men of Ahab's court, they tried to soften up Micaiah, saying, "Come on, Micaiah, we've already taken a vote. It's 400-1. Why don't you just go along with us? You're just going to upset the king. Then we're going to all be in trouble. And, you know, just vote with this little alliance we've got, and everything's going to be fine." But Micaiah said, "You know what? My vote is going to be with the Lord. What the Lord tells me, that's what I'm going to say." And he split their phony unity. We must not divide over incidentals in the body of Christ, as I mentioned last week, but we must stand on conviction. We must hold the line. Even if we're to stand alone, you've got to decide now whether it becomes illegal to read the Word of God, have the Word of God, follow the Word of God. I'm going to obey God rather than man. You've got to decide now. Don't wait till the fight starts. You've got to determine in your heart and in your life that you are going to hold the line. We may have to stand alone as a church. Or as independent Baptists, one of the mainline Protestant denominations in America, about 15 years ago, elected their first openly homosexual bishop. We've got to hold the line. Satan is trying, not only trying to creep into the schools, he did that 30, 40 years ago. He's trying to creep in to churches and to try to disrupt and try to pollute, because that's Satan's tactic. Whatever God has said is put with a period or exclamation point. God comes, or Satan comes, and he comes and he puts a question mark there. And he's trying to pollute what God has said. And so there are those who might say, "Well, wait a minute. Come on now, you know, all Baptists, they're on the most part, they're all conservatives. If you compare them to the rest of Christianity, and if you were to put a center down the line of Christianity, even the most liberal of Baptists might, they would be on the right of that line." Let me tell you, you can draw a line anywhere and put anyone on either side of that line. It just depends on how far you move that line. Oh, we've got to hold the line. We cannot let that line be moved. And it also determines what group you're trying to divide. You may have heard about the story of the two brothers that were wicked, ungodly men. They were perverts, adulterers. They were drunkards, thieves, and brawlers, and blasphemers. You name it, they were it. One of these brothers died, and the other brother came to a preacher and says, "I'll give you $1,000 if you'll preach my brother's funeral, and you'll call him a saint." The preacher stopped, and he pondered for a while, and he said, "You got a deal." So that preacher went to the funeral with the living brother sitting right in front of him. He stood up and he pointed at the deceased man in the casket, and he said, "In this casket was a thief. In this casket was a pervert and a drunkard. In this casket was an adulterer and a blasphemer. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Let me tell you, it all depends on where you draw the line. But let me tell you this morning, the line has already been drawn for us. When we go around comparing our lives to everyone else, you know why, and I've said this before, you know why I love watching the Hoarder Show? Because when I watch it, I don't feel so bad. I feel like my house is pretty clean. I don't have dead rodents and trash and garbage and flies and rats living with, I'm thinking, well, I've just got six kids. You know, they're close. They're just as dirty. But I don't feel so bad. You see, whenever you look at someone else, you always say, well, yeah, I'm not that bad. And we do that even in our Christian lives. We'll always find someone who's a little worse, who's a little wickeder, or whose sin is just a little bit different, so we can point our fingers at them and say, you know what? My sin's not so bad as so-and-so's. I'm pretty good. But let me tell you, God drew the line in His Word, and it's not where we put the line, it's where He put the line. And we must stand in it, and when we stand before a holy and just God, let me tell you, we always fall short. We cannot move the line. That's why the Word of God is under such attack. Even in churches today, questioning, tearing apart the Word of God, trying to find error. Why? Because they're trying to move the line. They're trying to move the line to make it acceptable to accept the world's crowd. To make it acceptable for what God has said is an abomination to be okay. But yet we see we can make anyone appear a saint if you'll move the line far enough. The news media is always trying to portray any difference of conviction over the truth of God's Word as a difference between the right and the left. But it's not a matter of the right and the left, it's a matter of right and wrong. And if you make the truth a matter of right and left, then you can draw the line anywhere. But if you take the Word of God and you say what God has said, that's what I'm going to say. There are preachers even in Canada right now in jail because they've preached truth. They drew the line where God has drawn the line, and they said that sodomy and homosexuality and all of that is wickedness and it's a sin. And guess what? It's considered a hate crime, and they got put in prison and jail for it. Fined for it. Let me tell you, we've got to understand the day is coming. Our society is rapidly changing, if you haven't noticed. There's a spirit of conformity in our country to say, you know what? Let's just take everyone's ideas, everyone's thoughts. Let me tell you, there can only be one winner in a race. Not everyone can be right. If there's two opinions, only one person is right. Let me tell you, we may not know until we get to heaven so on some of the issues and topics of what's right and wrong. But let me tell you, what God has said is wrong. Let me tell you, still today, it's wrong. And we must toe the line. We must stand in the line and not let it go. Because it's not right or left. It doesn't matter what your opinion is. And it doesn't matter what my opinion is. It happens to be what God has said. That's the issue. What God has said in America and for America. What God has said in the home and for the home. What God has said in the church and for the church, that we need to come to a fixed standard. And it's not of a conservative against liberal. It's not about a Republican against a Democrat. But it's of the Word of God versus everything else. Amen. It's about the Word of God versus everything else. You know why? That this book is outlawed and it's illegal in over 23 nations? Because of that very fact. Because God has drawn the line and governments say, no, that's not where we're going to put the line. We're going to put it over here. I thank God that most Baptists are saying we're not trying to fall in line with the rest of religion or denominations, or we're taking a stand on the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I believe the Word of God is worth struggling for. I believe it's worth a struggle. Even if we have to stand alone, the Word of God is worth it. Not many churches, are willing to take a stand anymore. Let me tell you, not only do churches sometimes have to stand alone, families have to stand alone too. If you're in a church that doesn't take a stand for the Word of God, then I would like to highly suggest you get your family in another church. You might say, well, preacher, we've been members of this church for so long, and Grandma's buried in the backyard in the cemetery at the church. Well, I guarantee if Grandma could move, she would. But understand, don't divide over incidentals. Don't let petty things separate the house of God and children of God. But Paul advised this in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But let me tell you, it's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with the multitude. It's better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. Micaiah's word, look at verse number 34. Micaiah's word from the Lord was fulfilled when Ahab went into battle. See, he said, you know what? I see Israel as being scattered sheep without a shepherd. Look at what verse 34 says. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore, he said unto his driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. A certain man drew a bow at venture. He just shot into the air. You think it landed right between his armor? No, not at all. God sent that arrow exactly where it needed to be for this wicked man. Let me tell you, but what about King Jehoshaphat? The Bible says he was a good man. He did right in the sight of the Lord, but yet we see here he did make an alliance with a wicked man. Well, he got more than he bargained for. They had convinced him to go into battle wearing his kingly robes, while King Ahab disguised himself. Oh, what a great friend. Hey, let's go into battle, but you dress up like the king, and I'll disguise as one of the troops. Guess who they went after? The king of Syria told his chariot, said, I don't want you to fight anyone except for the king of Israel, King Ahab. And as they looked out on the battlefield, guess who they saw? They didn't see King Ahab. Why? Because he was disguised. They saw King Jehoshaphat up there in his robes, and they said, guess what, guys? Well, let's stop the fight. We're not fighting these soldiers. We're going after him. King Jehoshaphat started crying and screaming and was running, saying, I'm not the one you're after. And you look at verse 30 through 33, you'll see that story. The Syrians finally stopped their attack when they realized it was not King Ahab. But Jehoshaphat should have ran away screaming with his hands over his ears earlier in Ahab's court. When he heard Micaiah's prophecy and saw those so-called spiritual prophets, one of them punched him in the face and dragged him off into prison for telling the truth. It seems to be a tragic way for a king to die in battle this way. But he wouldn't listen to the man of God. He wouldn't listen to the Word of God. And the preacher was thrown into prison. But God's arrow found Ahab and God's crown found Micaiah. It's better to ultimately succeed with the truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. We need to be people of God. More now than ever, we need to be the light that shines the gospel truth, that shines the love of Christ, that shines the forgiveness and the compassion and the care for others. We need to be people of God who will buy the truth and sell it not, according to Proverbs 23:23. We need to remember that the truth is desperately what is needed in our country today. It's not a new law. It's not a new president. It's not a new politician. It's not a new this or that. All those things would be nice. But what's needed in our country today is truth. Truth. We need to remember that truth is not some kind of a vague concept that no one can pin it down or no one can figure it out. Romans 10:8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." You know, the Bible contains the precepts of truth. Jesus is the person of truth, and the Holy Spirit is the power of truth. Former President Woodrow Wilson said, "I'd rather temporarily fail with a cause that must ultimately succeed than to temporarily succeed with a cause that must ultimately fail." Truth is a part of the very nature of God. Think of George Washington Carver, who became one of the most honored and respected scientists of his generation by focusing on the very simple item, the peanut. See, George Washington Carver had discovered hundreds of uses for the basic peanut, but he gave God all the glory. He said that he asked God to explain the universe to him, but he felt like God was telling him, "That's too much. Let's just focus on something you can handle," and pointed his attention to the peanut. And he said that all that he had done, he said, "I could, without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless." In the day that many people deny truth exists in an absolute reality, those of us who know God need to be more focused than ever as on seeking it. Truth is not an abstract concept that varies from time and place and can never fully be known. Truth is the part of the nature of God. Truth is which we need today, and it's the rock of God's Word. But most of us will never seek it. Most of us will never search it. Most of us will never read it. Adrian Rogers used to say, "You may tremble on the rock, but the rock will never tremble under you." We cannot afford to compromise. We cannot afford to change. We cannot afford to stop standing for truth. Truth is the Word of God. Timothy said in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let me tell you, the Scripture is the breath of God. As we read it and hold it and know it in our lives, because without this book, I would be helpless. Without this book, you would be helpless. Because without this book, I would not have knowledge of God's saving grace. I would not know, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Bible also says it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. So let me tell you, this book, it's important. It's important in our life. And understand that God has drawn the line, and it's not up to us to change it. It's not up to us to move it. It's up to us to hold it, to stand in it, to fill the gap, and to continue to declare the truths of God's Word. You put things away during a storm, or you tie them down. Think of this week going around. I kind of jokingly put a picture to my family's text chat. I put some towels in front of the doors because a lot of the rain sometimes will go under the doors of the school building. So I put some towels down and blocked off the door from the sideways wind rain, and took the flag off the flagpole, and I took a picture and said, "You know, hurricane prep done, check. You know, we're good to go." Not knowing the amount of rain we were going to get. I should have been digging a hole. But to think, you know, on Wednesday, knowing that the storm was coming and we were going to get some wind gusts, I went out and we have a plastic shed we bought for our kids' bicycles so that they don't rust in the rain, because we don't have a garage. So I took some straps and I hooked in some loops so I could use some ratchet straps to hold the shed down so the shed didn't fly away. That's kind of what you want to do when you've got something important. You either bring it inside, the lawn furniture, patio furniture, or you try to tie it down. But there's nothing worse than coming out in the morning and what you've tied down is missing and what you tied it down to. Well, that's gone as well. But let me tell you, the storms may come, and you better tie down those things that are precious, those things that cannot be moved, and they're to someone who cannot move, to someone who cannot change. And we have an unshakable kingdom. He is my rock, and He cannot be moved. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth. We have the truth this morning. You know what the world wants? The truth. You know what they want out of the January 6th committee? They want the truth. Now, do I think that they'll ever find the truth? No. Because there are some folks in Washington that never want the truth. You look at the hacks of the pipelines, and you see this committee and that committee, and almost in the last 20 years, every president has been under some kind of scrutiny and some kind of committee trying to dig in to try to bring up allegation or charges. Let me tell you, the truth sometimes is never going to be known this side of heaven. And you might always wonder, and let me tell you, there's a lot of wickedness and evilness going on, and I hope that some of that evilness and wickedness is exposed so God can help us to fix some of the problems that are in our country. But let me tell you, I don't believe we're gonna find out all of it until we get to heaven. Amen. But there is one thing we do know. There are not a lot of things in this life that are certain, but one thing is certain is God's Word. It is His truth. It is His promise. And therefore, we can take it and we can tie down to it and we can hunker in and say, you know what? No matter what storms come and wash everything away, I know I'm grounded to the rock. We sang it this morning. Anchored to the rock, which cannot move. Anchored firmly and deeply in the Savior's love. I'm so glad that we have the rock of Gibraltar, in the God in which we serve. That God has given us about the fact that He is truth, that He is equitable. In Psalms 98 verse 9, as He is fair, as He is merciful. In Luke chapter 6 verse 36, that He is caring. In 1 Peter 5:7, that He is strength. In Psalm 73:26, that He is our vengeance. In Psalms 94:1, that He is righteousness. In Psalm 71:19, that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In John 15:14, that He is a counselor. In Isaiah 9:6, that He is wise. In Proverbs 2:6, He is our hope. In Romans 15:13, that He is gentle. In 2 Samuel 22:36, that He is slow to anger. In Psalms 145 verse 8, oh, I'm so glad that the Lord's slow to anger. Because if the Lord was like me, I wouldn't still be here. I would have killed myself a long time ago saying, nope, that's it, you're out. I'm glad the Lord is slow to anger. I'm glad that the Lord is truth. I'm glad that the Lord is perfect in Matthew 5:48. I'm thankful that the Lord is forgiving in Psalms 86:5. I'm thankful the Lord is peace in 2 Corinthians 14:33. He is peace. I'm thankful the Lord is long-suffering in Exodus 34:6. I'm thankful the Lord is comforting in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. I'm thankful the Lord is faithful in Lamentations 3:23. I'm thankful the Lord is gracious. In Psalms 86:15, I'm thankful the Lord is holy in 1 Peter 1:16, that He is love in 1 John 4:7, that He is knowledge in 1 Samuel 2:3, that He is joy in Psalms 16:11, and that He is without variableness. That means He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever in James 1:17. That He is meek with meekness in Matthew 11:29. That He is good. Oh, we have a good God this morning. Amen. Psalms 34:8. We have a compassionate Lord. Psalms 111 verse 4. Deuteronomy 32:4. That He is just and He is giving. Psalms 145 verse 16. All of these things in which we have, we're not asked to hold the line with something we don't know. We're not asked to hold the line to serve God as a living sacrifice and just sitting saying, well, just go out and do your best and hope for the best. No, God has given us everything we need in this life. The Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Everything we need in this life, God has given it to us. No, God hasn't given us what color we're supposed to paint our house. He hasn't given us some things to say, well, there's just some things God hasn't told us. No, He hasn't. And God sometimes will let the storms come and the waters literally knock on our door. God wants us to continue to trust in Him and face uncertain times and to live in troubles and to live in trials. Why? So that we can continue to stand for truth. It's not up to us to draw the line. God has already drawn it for us. And boy, we dare not take that line and move it and say, well, if we just compare ourselves to the church down the street, well, if we adopt their music, their standards, well, we could draw a crowd overnight. Yeah, we could, but God has already drawn the line. We could change the line because anytime you change a line, you get more people in your border. But God has drawn the line right here with truth. And boy, it's our job to hold it, to stand for it. So let me ask you, dear Christian, if it were to be illegal tomorrow to worship the Lord like it was in the time of Daniel, if it was illegal to pray, if it was illegal to tithe, if it was illegal to share the gospel like we're commanded to, if it was illegal to read this book like it is in many nations, would you still be a dedicated follower of Christ? Would you still be faithful and holding the line? Or would you say, well, it's just too hard? I'm thankful the disciples, well, all but one, held the line. I'm thankful that all the apostles held the line, although their lives came or ended in tragedy as far as the world thinks, but we know that their life ended in glory. But to think, are we willing to hold the line? Because the truth's not popular. The truth about the condition of our sinful state, that's not popular. No one wants to go around and hear that they're a dirty, rotten sinner and that there's nothing good in their life that could ever get them to heaven. And to face the reality that they are hopeless and helpless on their own. And that there is no one that can help them except for one person. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to encourage you to put your faith and trust in Him before you leave here this morning. Don't walk out of these doors not knowing that heaven's your home and Jesus Christ is your personal payment for your sins. Let me tell you, this church can't save you. This church can't, you can't get baptized in these waters and get any closer to heaven. There's no one here saintly enough, no matter how far we draw the line in this crowd or any crowd, that can ever get you to heaven except for one person. And that's what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. The only hope that you have for being saved. This week, some might say their only hope they had being saved was the Coast Guard. Or the airboats, or the deputies sailing and walking around trying to see who they could rescue. Let me tell you, the only one that can save you for eternity is the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you put your faith and trust in Him and in Him alone? So many other religions, Satan has tried to deceive others to move the line that God has set and say, well, let's move the line over here and you can get to heaven by being a good person. Or you can get to heaven by just being a part of our church. Boy, if you could get to heaven by being a part of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, I'd hope to think that this church would be a little bit fuller this morning. That people had to be here so that they could go to heaven. But there are some believing in that lie because someone somewhere along the line stopped towing the line and allowed that line to be moved. God has set the line. Let's hold it. Let's live it. And this truth in which God has given us and revealed of Himself, it is precious. What does America need? It needs truth. What do our homes need? What do our marriages need? What do our lives need? Truth. Let's hold on to it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for being truth and drawing the line and, Lord, not setting that line so far that we could never know it. That, Lord, You've written Your precious book so that we can know the mind and the heart of Almighty God. That, Lord, You have written us this precious book so we can know the sacrifice and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we can know the truth of our sinful condition. We can know the truth of our past, our beginning, and we can know the truth of our future. But Lord, more than anything, we can know the truth of forgiveness and compassion and mercy and grace. That Lord, we can put our faith and trust in You and be restored. Lord, help us as a church. Help us as families. Help us as Christians, if we have to stand alone, to never compromise on truth. That, Lord, we'll hold the line. We'll continue to live. We'll continue to proclaim and declare Your wondrous truths from Your precious book. Lord, that we can be anchored to it. And know that it will not move, it will not change, because You are a God that changes not. And Lord, Your promises yesterday are still good today, and they'll still be good tomorrow. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning that is doubting the fact that they can be saved because of something that they've done or something that was done to them. Or there's something that in their lives, there's just no way that You could ever forgive them. That, Lord, even like the Apostle Paul said, he was the chief of sinners. He was the lowliest of the saints, and how You saved him. Lord, I think of how You saved me. Lord, Your will, Your promise is to save all men, that all may be saved. Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in You this morning. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's been contemplating giving up, quitting, dropping out of church, dropping reading their Bible. What's the point? What's the use? I've read it before. I don't need to read it again. Lord, may there be a passion and a desire in each and every one of our hearts to hold the line. There are those falling all around us. There are those giving up. There are churches closing their doors or removing from their pulpit the Word of God and becoming a house of entertainment more than a house of God and a house of prayer. That, Lord, we'll hold the line and we'll continue to stand firm on truth. Lord, I pray that You please use us in a great, mighty way as a lighthouse to shine brightly the wondrous, glorious truth of Your Word and of Your Son. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you would, stand with me. As the piano begins to play, would you come? The altar's open. How about it, teenagers? Don't wait till you become an adult. Say, well, I'll hold the line then. No, you better start holding the line now. You better decide that you're going to start serving God now. Don't wait. So I'll stand for truth next year. I'll stand for truth later. Oh, you need to decide now. Because you don't know what trials, you don't know what storms are going to face you today, tomorrow, this week, the rest of this year. You better decide now. Adults, you better decide now. You don't know what storms or what tragedies await you, await us. You better decide now that you're going to hold to the truth. You're going to hold the line. You're going to hold to the Word of God and God's promises. Maybe here this morning you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you come and allow someone to show you from the Word of God how you could be saved and have a personal relationship with Him? Whatever the need may be, maybe you know someone in your life that's struggling, that's fallen, that's been beaten up, and they're not holding the line like they used to. You come and pray for them. Pray that God will get a hold of their heart, give them strength, use them once again. Whatever the need may be. If no one here needed that message this morning, I did. Boy, so many times you just think, oh, you know, boy, it'd be so much easier if we just, you know, let this go and just give a little here and get a little there and just draw the line a little bit over. No, we've got to stand the line. And so I'm thankful the Lord through that story, through 1 Kings 22, although it ended in tragedy, and heartache and trouble, but I'm glad we have it to remind us to continue to stand firm and not let those around us cause us to compromise or to give in on what we know is true. Stand firm on truth, even if you have to stand alone. Micaiah stood alone against 400 other prophets, and he stood against a king, a wicked king, but he stood against a king. I'm thankful that he was willing to do so. And I hope that we'll have that same courage to stand for truth to the days to come, because it's what our community needs. It needs a group of people standing for the truth. And so that was my second sermon, as my kids call it. It's like, Dad, you started a second sermon or a third sermon? All right. So with that, I will dismiss this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. And if those that still, there's, we still have a few without power, hopefully you'll have power. If not, you're welcome to come to church early, really early tonight, and charge your devices. But I'm thankful that no one that I know of suffered any real damage. And so other than just power outages and just having to deal with some things, of course, all day Friday cleaning up the mess that the waters brought. But we're just so thankful that it stopped. Amen. And always think, you know, it could have been worse. And so we have so much to be thankful for and grateful for. And so with that, we'll go ahead and go out this afternoon. We look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6 o'clock for our evening service. Brother Hager, if you would, close us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. And Lord, we do thank you about the word of God that we heard today about truth and holding the line. And Lord, and I just pray that you continue to give us your strength and your power as we try to learn your word in John 8, 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, thou art, then art thou my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I just pray that you help us and strengthen us to be able to know the truth, to learn the truth, to stay in your word, and Lord, to keep that line strong and straight. And I just pray that you fill us with your power, give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.